Welcome to Unlimited Parenting, where we discuss what it's like having children with disabilities and or special health care needs. Both. Why not?
Why not?
And we are here today with another installment of iPull Found It on Facebook. This is a series where myself and Melissa and other iPull staff members will go through local Idaho Facebook groups and find questions that we will give in-depth answers to here on this podcast. So with me today is Melissa. Welcome, Melissa.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
You're so welcome. Thank you for coming, even though you don't have a choice. Today, we are answering 4 questions.
All right.
So buckle up and prepare yourself.
Only 4?
Only 4.
Those Facebook groups are wild. They're some good ones.
Okay. They have a lot of really good conversations, but I also want to stay away from what is your favorite name a service, right?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite OT?
Yeah.
So if we weed out some of those questions, we get to ones like these.
Okay, good.
So the first one is, have you ever heard of the Talking Book Service?
I have heard of it.
And that is the exact same way that I felt when I read that comment.
Yes.
Have I heard of it? Yes. Do I know how to link you to it? Yes.
Yes. I could do that.
But do I know a lot more about it? Not as much as I should. So I took this opportunity.
Yay.
To educate all of us.
Okay.
As always, the link to this will be provided in the description box below, but it's idahotalkingbooks.org. And as you can imagine, this is linked through the library.
Mm-hmm. That's where I've heard about it, is our friends at the Commission on the Libraries. But
yes,
you're going to elaborate.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And hopefully now everyone knows more too.
Okay.
So it is lovingly referred to as TBS, not Taking Back Sunday for those elder millennials, but Idaho Talking Book Service. You don't know Taking Back Sunday?
I'm not an elder millennial. I'm aging myself. I'm not a boomer either, but
You really don't know Taking Back Sunday?
No, I don't. What would that have been?
It's a band.
What? I don't know that. No.
Do you know My Chemical Romance?
Yeah.
The Idaho Talking Book Service is a free, everyone's favorite word, convenient audiobook library service for Idahoans who are unable to read standard print due to things like low vision, blindness, perceptual, or even a reading disability. And I don't know why, but that last one was something that I had not considered. Of course, that should be accessible to you if you had a reading disability. The service is completely free for users who receive titles by downloading them and or having the materials mailed directly to them at their residence at no cost.
Wow.
So like,
really?
Yes. So cartridges, like the old school way, like 8 tracks almost for accessing. So I'm assuming CDs, cassettes.
Wow. Okay.
Did you ever...
I had no idea.
Did you ever pop a cassette in to listen to a book back in the day?
No.
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I read a lot of Tolstoy that way, just listening to it in the car. It's dry. It's hard to read.
I'm sure.
So even me, an individual with no supports for visual...
You were using
it? I was using it without ever even thinking of who the intended audience was.
Well, isn't that the same thing with a lot of assistive technology? It starts off as assistive technology for people with disabilities, and then it becomes this mass movement of everyone. It's universal. Everyone's using it. It's universal design. Originally, technology like that was so astronomically expensive, and it wasn't accessible for the masses. And then technology became what it is. Apple became what it is. And now we have tablets that are accessible for everyone. And then we can put programs on it like AAC devices, like, you know, those types of things. So that, there you go. That's one.
I love it.
Even though you didn't ask for it.
I did.
You did. That's right. Never mind.
Did you know that the Idaho Talking Book Service, again, lovingly referred to as TBS, not Taking Back Sunday, is available to Idaho residents in any of the following categories? Yes, please. No.
I just remembered how I have heard about the Talking Book TBS. Talking Book Service. Fred Riggers, so Fred Riggers, for all of us in Idaho, was a disability champion. And every February, we celebrate Disability Awareness Day down at the state capitol. And we lovingly refer to it as Fred Riggers Disability Awareness Day. Last year, when his daughter gave the speech, because Fred is no longer with us, his daughter talked about how Fred lost his vision later in life.
Because he was a farmer.
He started accessing the Talking Book Service when he, that's how I have heard of it.
How have I forgotten that story?
I don't know, but that, I just put two and two together. So Fred Riggers is our connection to the Talking Book Service.
Oh, Fred and his long hair tie.
Yes. So I just made that connection, and that's how I've heard of it. I'm sure our friends at the Commission on the Libraries have talked about it extensively as well, but I know it from Fred Riggers and his daughter talking to us about it last year at Disability Awareness Day.
Well, something tells me that Fred Riggers would have accessed it as an individual who is blind or has a visual impairment that makes them unable to comfortably read books with print, which I love that. I love the language that the Talking Book Service uses. If you can comfortably read it, it makes it sound less, what's the word? You know, the feeling.
Durable medical equipment.
Yes.
More access to everyday information.
It's regular, everyday people.
Yep.
Or an individual who has a perceptual or reading disability. An individual who has a physical disability that makes it difficult to hold or manipulate a book, i.e. turning pages, or to focus or move their eyes as needed to read a print book. Or facilities like schools, hospitals, nursing homes that regularly serve clientele meeting eligibility requirements. And you may be asking yourself,
Allison, this sounds like an audiobook like Audible.
That is, I was actually going to ask you that.
Were you?
You read my mind.
Well, thank
What's
you.
What's the difference?
I would love to tell you why. So there's two reasons where it's more accessible and different than an audiobook. So the first is, once your application is approved, you or your caregiver will receive a phone call from the Talking Book Service. They're going to set you up an account in a way that works best for you. You're not going to get that from Audible.
No.
Maybe you love Westerns, or you can't get enough of biographies. There are more than 100,000 fiction and nonfiction audiobook titles available, along with 70 magazines and a selection of locally recorded audiobooks and magazines about Idaho and the Northwest.
You're kidding.
How
that
cool is that?
Cool.
You're not going to get that on Audible.
No.
The individual who helps you set up your account can even find books just from the name of a character. You're basically getting a curated service.
You are.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
There's also an online catalog to search for available titles, and new patrons narrow down their reading choices. They decide how many audiobooks they would like to receive and how often. Again, that is something that's different from, let's say, our regular local library, their audiobook selection, right? You don't get to decide how many you want. I mean, you have a cap. You can only pick so many. Another way it's different than a service such as Audible or potentially just the traditional library is that you can also download titles to a computer or a device via Braille and audio reading download, Bard. Wow. Bard Express is an easy way for patrons to access Bard on their computer, which is amazing. And not only that, but you can receive help with Bard from a customer service representative if you're having some kind of technical difficulties. The way
that is
the library as a whole just bends over backwards to assist people is something that will never not be heartwarming to me.
I agree wholeheartedly. It is just, and you know, I don't take advantage of the library that as often as I should. You know that I'm a bad person. I'm a bad citizen.
I could live at the library.
I know. This is so cool. But like my son has all of these. This is absolutely a service that we could be accessing. And I could tell them that I want books that are all about Bluey. I could pick a character and have it curated for Reese. Are some topics that would interest him.
That while not the same as the Talking Book Service, the library also has those Tony boxes. So you could
borrow
a Tony box and then borrow the Bluey figurine. Yeah, you can try
before you buy. I have the Tony box.
Melissa, hold on.
Okay.
Are you seated?
Yeah.
Are you wearing your seatbelt?
Yeah.
At the library, okay. You can check out Nintendo Switch games. You can check out other console games. You can check out like regular board games. Some locations you can check out like a fishing pole.
What?
The way you can get anything at the library.
Wow. This is turning into a library podcast.
Love the library. Well, I love the library. Okay. Again, this will be in the description box, but I'm going to include the phone number, the email, the address, which if you're not local to the Treasure Valley, it is in Boise.
Okay.
It's off State Street.
Okay.
But again, like I mentioned before, they can mail you.
Okay. So any Idaho resident?
Any Idaho resident.
Okay.
The hours are just your typical Monday library through Friday, hours. 8 to 5.
Yay.
So thank you for adding that little caveat about Fred Riggers, though, because that really brings life to this section. I love that. I cannot believe that I forgot about that from last year.
I just connected for some reason.
Maybe I was like hyperglycemic from eating too many cookies.
Maybe.
Or something.
Yeah. Disability Awareness Day will do that to you. There's a lot of goodies.
There's so many cookies.
There's a lot of cookies.
This next question, I want you to keep it very realistic, nothing fancy pantsy, just tell what you really do. And I think I specifically picked this question because I would like to bring to light everybody struggles with this. There is no perfect person. There can be perfect days. And remember, social media is a liar.
Yeah.
And so if they show you one thing, the other side of the room may look completely different. So having said all of that, the question is, how do you keep your house clean when you have children with disabilities? The answer is nothing is ever clean. This is your life now.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you, we got a robot vacuum and that was helpful. Clean Latifah.
She named her robot vacuum Clean Latifah.
And
she removes one.
She removes one task daily that I always had to do when we got, you know, with dogs and kids and all of that. So that was helpful. But it's never clean. It's always three steps forward, two steps forward, three steps back.
But that's still two steps forward.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess that's what I do. I really try to pick a room a day, and that's what
that's
we do.
Smart. So when I was a stay-at-home mom, which hands down the hardest job I've ever had in my life.
I would absolutely agree.
When I was a stay-at-home mom, that's what I did. I had this like weekly schedule. Saturday and Sunday was like the yard, and Monday was the kids' rooms, and Tuesday was a bathroom, and that's kind of how I survived.
Yeah.
But now that I'm not a stay-at-home mom, and I obviously
work a little bit at least.
I do have a system, but I don't know if it's sustainable for me, but I don't know if that's because I am who I am. You know what I mean? Okay, so here we go.
Yep.
I do. I'm laughing because some people will say, you know, sitting down is like the arch nemesis to cleaning. Like if you sit down, you'll never get back up again and finish. If you had the gumption and you were cleaning and then you're like, I'm going to take a little break and then you never come back.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite of that. So what I do is I take an hour and I split it up. So I'll do 20 minutes on. So 20 minutes of a task and then 40 minutes off, 40 minutes of doing
just whatever
I want. And I do that from the moment I get home from work until I go to bed. And I've been doing that for 5.5 months now.
And
my husband made fun of me in a loving, sweet way. He kind of like, this will never last. Like, that doesn't sound sustainable at all. I don't know what it is, but that has clicked for me.
It's 21 days to form a habit.
Right?
You did it.
Exactly.
You did it.
But I don't know why that works. Oh. I think it's kind of because I love these little blips on YouTube. These little shows that the channels that I subscribe to, the shows are 30 minutes.
Okay. So you, in that 40 minute of your downtime.
Right.
You.
So 30 minutes off, I watch a show and then I pop up and I clean for 20 minutes. And I have this like almost down to a science. So sometimes I'll set like a visual timer that we have for our kids and I'll set it up and I'll watch 20 minutes tick away. Sometimes I'll get an audiobook and then I'll set the timer on the audiobook so it just cuts off after 20 minutes. Or I pick 3 to 4 songs that equate to exactly 20 minutes. And I have them in a playlist in my phone.
Your 20-minute cleaning playlist.
Yeah. But I have several so that I can get like different kinds of
variety.
Okay. But then I know, right? Because
there's different cleaning needs different music.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Yep. Okay.
And then other times it's Katie Lang.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know.
Katie Lang is not where I thought we were going. So you're right. You never know with Allison what you're going to get.
But
I don't think that's the I could never do that.
But I feel like also it really breaks it down. So like, okay, I'll give you another example of why
what
I think
just
this
don't
works
want to
for
do
me.
It.
And you know what? Sometimes
it doesn't happen.
So what you do is you pick those little tasks for 20 minutes. And you know what? It's up to you how you use those 20 minutes.
That's true.
Right? So you could be, it could take you 20 minutes to clean a bathroom sink. How motivated are you, right?
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I'm out here cleaning a whole bathroom in 20 minutes, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I missed a spot on this sink, and it's still, you know, it's up to you. But I still think like, oh, I still clean for 20 minutes. So, but here, let me give you a real example of why this works. So sometimes I look at a big task and I'm like, I don't have the energy to do that. Do as much as you can in 20 minutes. So I have an island in my kitchen, and on one side of it is the sink, on the other side of it is the bar stools, and my children, for whatever reason, will not take off their shoes. So they kick at this island,
yeah.
And it's just Nutella and shoe marks and Crayola marker, and I look at it and I go, oh my God, I start crying, right?
Yeah.
Like the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you can get that thing so clean in 20 minutes.
You just get a magic eraser out?
And you feel so good afterwards, because then the little baseboard right underneath of it is clean, and you can vacuum, and you don't even have to mop. You just get those like Lysol or Clorox wipes, put them on your feet and just scrub at the floor. 20 minutes goes by and you're like, holy crap, this looks so nice. And you know what that does, my friend? It motivates you. So then you have an option. You can say, hey, I am so motivated, I'm going to keep cleaning, or I'm going to take my 40-minute break. Sometimes I just keep on going. You just need a little bit to get you started. It doesn't sound like this plan would work for you, though.
No. I need some kind of a plan, but maybe it would, because I look at the heaping pile of laundry and I'm like, that'll be there tomorrow. We got enough clothes left.
See,
and I'm right, because we do.
It's really funny that you bring that up.
But
I will just out myself right here and right now on air live. I love doing laundry.
Oh,
I know. I just tanked in the polls.
You did.
I am so unrelatable and unlovable.
Yeah. People are going to stop listening. Thanks a lot.
Do
you sit down and fold it?
Sometimes. Sometimes I stand up.
And watch the show. Do you like
you know
watch
what else?
During it?
You know what else? That 20 minutes or
yeah.
Whatever, 40 minutes of downtime. I fold laundry in my desk.
So I do that. And I guess that's why I get mad. Like, I'm like, this is my time. Because I'm not doing my laundry. I'm doing everyone else's.
That's
my problem. I know about this.
I can get behind the washing, the drying, and the folding.
Uh-huh.
I truly don't like putting it away.
Yeah.
I don't like putting it away.
I hate our socks.
I hate socks.
There's 6 people in our house. A lot of them have the same size feet, and it is so hard.
Do you just put... I
have different kind of socks because they're all weirdos and like different kind of things. And so it...
I don't do this personally, but I had a friend growing up. I would always go over to her house, and her mom kept all of the socks in a laundry basket, mm-hmm. and you had to fend for yourself.
Because
that's how much she hated folding socks.
That is the current situation of the morning.
And I support
a buy-in house.
It is
a community sock bin, and it is feral, and we're just pulling socks out.
But you know what? Your kids have socks, and that's all that matters.
You're exactly right.
That's all.
They might not match, but they have socks on. Reese doesn't care.
A couple of other things,
but I appreciate that. I think as a special needs family, we need more of a routine for our cleaning. So I can get behind this.
It works for some people, but it doesn't work for others.
Once
a routine, I mean,
we got to get through some sports seasons. I think that's what's killing me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but you're right. A routine would be really helpful.
So take what resonates and leave what doesn't, right? So here's a few more things I thought of and or read. Number one, we've kind of already touched on this, try to build in habits. This is something that I heard about on TikTok, and I think it's kind of like my system, just on the other side of the continuum, where this woman has said every time she does something, she kind of just cleans up. Not like cleaning up after herself or cleaning as you go, but she's brushing her teeth. And while she's brushing her teeth, she leaves her bathroom and just cleans her kid's sink.
Oh.
She does like with like.
Okay. So she's
multitasking. Yeah, that's a system that really worked for her.
You know, you gave me a really good idea a while ago and I did it for a while.
Oh my God, someone write that down.
Yeah, right. This is going to be on a plaque in her office. Okay, just so everyone knows. I got a new washer and dryer and it has the ability to do a delayed wash. And so for a while, I was really, really getting in the habit of leaving for work, putting a load in, setting it as a delayed wash so that it would be done right when I got home to be able to move that to the dryer. And that worked. It was really sustainable. And I need to get back in the habit of that. I forgot about that. That was a good use of assistive
technology. You forgot about that?
I forgot. I don't know what happened. I squirreled and I went on. I got something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Someone needed something.
My problem is if I lose one day, I can't get back on my routine.
Oh, that is really hard.
Yeah.
That is really hard.
It's okay. I'll be better.
I'll text.
But that was a really good idea. Yeah. You text me. Okay. Every morning. Put your laundry in.
Another one that I read, from here on out, some of these are going to seem fairly obvious, but decluttering, I think, is something, and this kind of pairs in with the next one.
I decluttered last night at my coat closet and always remembered I have them in my car for you.
Yes, I love a good coat.
I guess I do.
So yeah, decluttering.
Mm-hmm.
And that pairs with something else, which is evaluating the function of the items that you have in your home. And I think that this really resonated with me as a special needs parent because I love the little tchotchkes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'll be darned if those don't get broken or lost or in some cases used as a weapon. But I have to look at that from a mom perspective, a mom of a parent of a child with disabilities, and say, I love this. I'm going to wrap it in bubble wrap. And maybe it'll come out again someday. It doesn't mean I need to get rid of it, but I need to evaluate the function of my home. Another way that I did that is our dining room. You know, we don't have a table in our dining room. We eat at the counter, like I mentioned. That area now has, you know, a swing and a crash pad and all kinds of stuff. Evaluate your rooms and how to, you know what? Sometimes you might love a shag
house.
You might love a shag carpet, but maybe this is not the season of your. Really, is there any season of your life for a shag carpet? But maybe.
I got a lamp for the first time 2 years ago. We were not a lamp family because lamps would be either knocked over or thrown over or run into, or we couldn't be a lamp family. And then we got to that stage where we.
But
where,
now you can.
Yeah, now you can. Yes.
So I think that's another way to maintain cleanliness is at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is don't break your back trying to clean something if it's just something that you're cleaning. And I know, and saying that just makes me think, throw the kids out, right? Because
if you can't, they'll let you.
Another
Spiral
thing,
bond.
Right? The old reliables, right? Lean on a family member, have someone come and help you clean. Maybe even do that parallel play where you have someone with you to watch you clean. That can sometimes help motivate people and make it a game with your kid to the extent that they're able to help with chores, whether that's developmentally or physically, to the extent that they're able. Have them. My son thinks it's so fun to put the laundry away.
Really?
He loves it. Oh, and I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm done, Jack. You put it away.
I'll show him where everything goes.
And then he goes, Silas, this is not where the shirts belong. Oh my God, I've never loved anything more.
Like it. That's funny.
All right. That's what we have. We hope you liked some part of that. And I mean, feel free to send us a form telling us what you liked and we can include it.
Can I add one other thing?
Please do.
I would say, in, if you are struggling, you know, if you are a family that has a child with very complex and fragile medical needs in the Treasure Valley, there is an organization called Raise for Rare that will help families out with house cleaning. So if there's, maybe if this was a family member on Facebook that was reaching out because they are just spent and their child is very medically fragile and they don't have the ability to clean their house, I don't know what the context of this question was, but Raise for Rare is an organization for rare families that can help with some of those things. So I would just plug that.
I love it.
Yeah. They're not
that even coming to my mind.
It's not an organization that's going to help, you know, families that have behavioral needs. It is an organization specifically for families with rare diagnosis and diseases that are very, very medically complex. So
yeah, if it's applicable, let that be a resource that you lean on, right?
Yeah. Sorry, that was just a thought I had.
No, it was wonderful. Thank you. Last but not least, okay, the final question. What is an ABLE account? And does my child need one?
Oh, we shifted gears.
We did.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is a big shift.
Yeah.
So I think my simplest answer, and then I'll let you expand on it, because I know you are a family who actually has an ABLE account.
Yeah.
And I love the part where you talk about, so no pressure, about how you found the bank.
Yeah.
Okay. So the simplest answer, listeners, is that an ABLE account is a savings account for people with disabilities and their family. And it's a result of the passing of the ABLE Act of 2014. So 2014, that provides the opportunity for individuals with disabilities to save money beyond their typical resource limits.
Yep.
So they're for eligible individuals to save money to purchase qualified goods and services that help them gain independence and choice without losing out on the assistance that they need. So maybe an ABLE account for prescriptions.
Yeah. Prescriptions, equipment, vacations. I mean, it's a means to save money without it being, without your assets really being.
So the reason I want to throw this one to you is because a comment I saw, and this is valid, but I want you to explain the workaround, I guess.
Okay.
A family said you can't get that in Idaho.
Yeah.
And they're not correct, but I would like you to explain more about it.
So Idaho banking institutions don't offer ABLE accounts. However, there are federal institutions. We just went to our We bank at Chase Bank. Chase Bank offers ABLE accounts on a federal or national level. So we just open a Chase account through, or an ABLE account through our Chase Bank.
So if you're through ICCU, you're not going to be able to access it.
Wells Fargo, Chase, Ally, a lot of the bigger, some of Charles Schwab. I almost said Les Schwab, but
you can't get an ABLE account at Les Schwab. Don't try. Don't do that.
Please. But yeah, so those bigger national banking institutions will all have the ability for you as a family to open an ABLE account.
So I will ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot. Sorry. Yeah,
I know.
I bank at ICCU.
Okay.
If I wanted to start an ABLE account, could I go to Chase just to start that? Or would I also have to open a checking account there? You are now, it's like ChatGPT. You are now.
I am a banking expert, and I don't know.
I'm going to find the answer.
I'm assuming you would need to be a Chase customer. We already were.
So I think their rule is that you have one bank account with $25 in it.
Uh-huh.
And then
something like that.
It's essentially just a way to access the ABLE account.
Yeah.
So can I ask, if I have SSI or other public benefits, are there any limitations for an ABLE account?
So that's why ABLE accounts exist. So that your Social Security, you don't stop gaining it if you're saving it. Because we know that there's income restrictions. So in a normal account, I think it's a $2,000 limit, right? I think, I don't know exactly what it is, but an ABLE account allows you to go up to $100,000, and it may have even changed in 2024. Jamie at the Silk, our state independent living council, is the ABLE guru for the state of Idaho. So I'm going to have, Allison's going to link Jamie's contact information too. So for Idaho families, they can reach out to Jamie at our state independent living council. But you can have $100,000. I believe it may have gone up to $125,000. For some reason, I kind of have that in my mind that she was saying that, but don't quote me on that. But it allows individuals to have that and carry that in there without penalty or without losing their Social Security benefits or any of their Medicaid or
Paid effect debt, right?
Any of those. Exactly. Exactly.
So can you give us some examples that you've used your son's ABLE account for?
You know what? Right now, we don't have anything in his ABLE account because he's not receiving Social Security. We opened it. I think there's like $40 in it.
Enough to keep it active.
Yeah. We opened it because he came into some inheritance from a family member, and we needed to shift that into a special needs trust. And in the process, we ended up opening that. It was just kind of part of the financial planning process that we went through.
Part and parcel.
Yeah. So we opened it. We have it available for when he turns 18 and he starts accessing those benefits himself.
Okay. Can you give some fake examples of what someone
might
use it for?
In our office, our executive director, her daughter's ABLE account, they had to open the ABLE account during COVID because of the, what do we call it, stimulus checks that were coming in. And so this then put her daughter over the income threshold. So they were able to put the stimulus checks in her ABLE account. And then from the ABLE account, she was able to purchase airfare to go to a conference that specifically was for her individual disorder. So you can access it that way, or you could use it if you needed to pay, if you needed new furniture for your home as an independent, you know, you're living independently and you needed to furnish your new space, or if you want to, I mean, you know,
anything. It's the answer.
It's really thing. If you need, yes, I don't want to say medication copay because that probably you wouldn't have a copay if you are accessing some of these, but, you know, but anything that you need to access.
Cold medicine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially.
And antihistamine. Mm-hmm. So does your child need it because they have a disability? No. But is it helpful? It certainly sounds like it.
Sure. And especially when we start really thinking about coming into adulthood, and it enables individuals the ability to kind of save and not be penalized for having a savings account.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I would say, yes, the State Independent Living Councils can speak in much greater detail, can even get you those institutions that are reputable across the nation that are very helpful.
You know, we're going to have that linked below.
Yeah.
So I found something in the little State Independent Living Council folder that we have. Qualified living expenses, education, housing, transportation, employment, assistive technology, i.e. ramps, computer software, glasses. That's kind of surprising.
That is kind of surprising.
Basic living expenses, healthcare expenses not covered by your insurance, i.e. the antihistamine medication, and personal assistance services.
Yeah. And I have had, I've known of families that, or of individuals that have paid for a personal care assistant to attend a vacation with them. So that is an current cost too. Yeah.
I'm learning something new every day.
Pretty cool.
Thank you so much, everyone out there, for listening in. And know that if you are in Idaho or planning on moving to Idaho and have questions on systems or services for children with disabilities, please consider reaching out to us on our website at IPULIdaho, that's IPULIdaho.org, or by calling us at 208-342-5884. Be sure to tune in next time. Until then, this has been Unlimited Parenting.
Thanks for listening.